Okay, the Occupy movement. The reason I want it to, when I teach social inequality, I try to, that's one of my ways of trying to engage students, because it's all, at the time I taught that, it was all over the news. So I had them read a book, I had them, you know, do a project that was related to the Occupy movement. So that was just opportune. I took advantage of an opportunity that was out there. How do I manage it is, you know, first, I haven't had a whole lot of problems on this campus. I really haven't had a whole lot of problems on this campus with people being disrespectful or racist in the classroom. And, you know, I have to say I've been lucky that it has been. Once in a while, the conversations get a little heated. And so what I do when it gets a little way, when it starts to go way off track into personal experience, like, well, I have had this, you know, white students don't get white privilege. So I have them read Peggy McIntosh, White Privilege. This is the kind of classic example. And then have them think about what's changed and what's still a problem. And they get rattled by that. Mm-hmm. And so now I included a reading by Lynn Weber, and she talks about being a white tennis player and how she was from a working, it exemplifies that she, it's just a little brief introduction to a book she has on race, class, and gender, and it shows, so I include that now, so they can see here's a white woman talking about having, being disadvantaged by class in the tennis world and by gender, how all women who are tennis players are disadvantaged, and how she thought that she was the most disadvantaged until she had to play a black player and they couldn't play at the club that everybody was playing at because she's older, and this was back in the 60s and it was in the South. And so it's a great example of how this person thought that she was so disadvantaged but didn't recognize that she did have this one advantage, race, and she could play on courts in country clubs. And so it's a really good example that really challenges that and gets people to start to open their eyes to it. So, and I'll use myself as an example. I'll say, oh, I had a friend, you know, in graduate school, and I went with her the first time I ever saw an African-American get their hair pressed, and I asked her, I said, why would you want to do that to your hair, you know? And so I told them about how wrong that was, to ask, why should I impose this beauty standard on her? So I use myself as an example, and I use just different things with, you know, going to a store with a friend who's African American and having them carded when they write a check and they just push me on through the line. So I use everyday things in my own world to sort of exemplify that. So that's how I bring it back through examples to the text that we're reading. When I was at Bakersfield, we had people really were resistant to talking about gender and sexuality. And so there was only one incident where I felt that somebody was threatening to me. And I actually went to the dean and I said, I can handle it, but I want you to know this is going on. And so I got a very homophobic essay. They had to go do this assignment that they had to go shop for Barbies, and they had to talk about how, you know, gender's represented, how work is represented, how heterosexuality is represented, what's the role of kin was one of the questions. And, you know, so this guy just went off in this essay, and this very accused me of being, you know, that called me a dyke, and, you know, it's fine, but, you know, but just went off. And so I just very calmly responded by saying, okay, you know, you can have your opinion, but this is not academic, this is not correct academic style for writing a paper. If you, I'm giving you a D on this because you haven't done what the assignment asks you to do. And in the future, I suggest that you learn how to phrase your objection through academic language by referring to the text and then having some good, strong, reasonable, rational argument for disagreeing or agreeing. And the next essay, you got a B. So it worked. Somehow that worked. But it was a little bit scary for a minute. So that's the worst experience I've had. And in the same classroom, this was just fabulous, though, because in the same classroom, I had a Latino male. He raised his hand and he said, I think kin is all about compulsory heterosexuality. And I thought, I have I have gone to heaven. This is wonderful because it's coming from a man who sees this, right? And here's a man who's accusing me of being, you know, a dyke and having an agenda. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, Ken is not gay. You know, Ken, the role of Ken is to promote heterosexuality. Mm. So it's really was interesting. The whole incident was just quite interesting. Mm. And I felt that I had to sort of just check myself and think about what's the proper way to respond. And I said, you know, in academia, we don't argue this way. Here's how we argue. It's based on reason. It's based on evidence. So where's your evidence? Where's your reasoning? And it worked. But, you know, I don't know. What else have I done? I don't know. It's hard to think because I just do it, you know, without thinking. Mm. I do always try to bring back whatever anybody's talking about. And when things start to get heated, mm. I bring it back to, okay, how is this reflecting mm. the readings? Mm. How, and I always also, with the exception of that person who was just so out of line, I try to acknowledge people and not just shut them down. Mm. I hear a lot of students say, oh, I don't like this course because every time I say I don't agree, I feel like I'm being called a racist or homophobic. And so I try to acknowledge them without validating that position. So I'll say, you know, a lot of people have come from that position. But what about if we think about it in this way? Then does it change our view? So I don't just shut them down. I think that's important, and that's a really hard balancing act because you certainly don't want to approve of racist views that are unconsciously racist or, you know, that type of thing. But how can I acknowledge that this person has had this experience yet reframe it? So I'm doing a lot of reframing. Okay, let's bring this back to this. How do we think about it? If we look at it through this lens, what do we see?